materialized out of the shadows to introduce themselves, each claiming to be Guy Schermerhorn. Two older and wearing glasses, one younger and not, before taking their seats, stage right, at the desk reserved for the contestants. The celebrity panel was seated across from them, stage left, and it was their task to determine which two were the imposters and which the original, the one telling the truth. She didn't have time for this, but then she did, because the affidavit the host read out wasn't the usual sort of thing at all. Guy Schermerhorn wasn't the pedestrian husband of a hyper-sexualized actress, or a race car driver recognizable only with his crash helmet on, or the discoverer of a new element for the periodic table, but a researcher who, he claimed, was teaching apes to talk. She'd heard about that. They were doing it here, too, at UCSM, weren't they? And, come to think of it, the young guy, the one in the middle, looked familiar, as if she'd seen him on campus. But whether she had or not, she was sure he was the one telling the truth. The other two might have had more gravitas, but that was only because of the glasses and the age difference. And, of course, the producers of the show relied upon deception by way of keeping the audience guessing along with the celebrity panel. Otherwise, no one would have bothered to tune in. Bill Cullen, he wore glasses too, the lenses so thick they distorted his eyes, was up first, and he put his question to Guy Schermerhorn number one on the left.
So, what was the first thing the ape said? I'm guessing it was either, you got a cigarette, or can you loan me a dime so I can call my lawyer and get out of this joint?
The audience laughed. Guy Schermerhorn number one laughed too, and then he composed his face and said,
they don't actually talk. It's more like sign language.
Oh, really?
Bill Cullen leaned into the long desk the panel shared. He was enjoying this, enjoying the opportunity to show off his wit for all those people out there in the living rooms of America, and relishing the fact that he was a celebrity and they weren't.
How do you say, make mine a martini, straight up, two olives?
Again, the audience laughter. But Guy Schermerhorn number one dodged the question with a quip of his own, as if he were auditioning for a seat on the panel.
We tried to discourage them from drinking, he said, giving the camera a deadpan look, but the thing was, he didn't attempt any sign language, which to Amy was a dead giveaway, even if she hadn't already decided on number two.
It was Kitty Carlisle now, looking ageless in her midnight black bouffant, though the flesh at her throat was pulled tight as a string bag. She gave the camera a catty look, then zeroed in on number three.
Could you demonstrate something in sign language for us? It is sign language you use, isn't it?
Number three nodded.
How about, oh, I don't know, do you take your coffee black or with cream and sugar?
The man raised both his hands to the level of his chest, and Amy thought for an instant that she'd been wrong, that this was the real Guy Schermerhorn. But then, lamely, he dropped them to the desk and said,
we don't serve them coffee.
Jangles their nerves,
the host put in, and everybody laughed. He was seated center stage behind his own desk, his bald head flashing under the stage lights. Amy didn't remember his name. Not that it mattered. He was a celebrity, too. Kitty Carlisle couldn't resist the joke. What about Sanka? She asked of nobody in particular, just threw it out there, before turning to the contestant in the middle, Guy Schermerhorn number two, with a penetrating look.
What about you, number two? Can you tell us how to say, how do you take your coffee, black or with cream and sugar?
And now a quick aside, eyes on the camera.
I mean, in case we have an ape over for dinner some evening?
Guy Schermerhorn number two, he was the real Guy Schermerhorn, no doubt in Amy's mind, was in his late 20s or early 30s, and he wore his hair long, parted just to the left of center and tucked behind his ears. His eyes jumped and settled, and he was instantly, unshakably calm. He used his fingers only. It was called fingerspelling, as she was later to learn. Moving them so quickly and adeptly, he might have been a clarinetist running through Flight of the Bumblebee without benefit of an instrument. Kitty.